Today I want to continue the series on prayer. It is the most important thing of Christian life. But let me challenge you to think about what type of church we are, or what type of Christian we are. I can see two types of churches and two types of Christians. One is a church or a Christian that pray. Another one is a church or Christian that is devoted to prayer. See what's the difference? First, church that prays about what it does. But a church devoted to prayer does things by prayer. Everything that they do, they pray through it before they do it. And while they are doing it, even after they have finished doing it, they continue to pray. Such is the church that devoted to prayer. And a church that prays at its convenience. If it's a good time, and if I have no parties, yes, I'll come to prayer meeting, go to pray. But a church that's devoted to prayer prays at God's command. Even if it's not convenient, I will come to worship God. I'll come to pray to God. A church that prays when there are problems. But a church that's devoted to prayer prays when there are opportunities and then waits on God for guidance, whether that's something that God wants us to do. A church that prays has guilt. Such church knows that we should pray more. We are not praying enough. While a church devoted to prayer has joy, desiring always to pray more. We are not praying enough. We should pray more. We want to pray. We desire to pray. A church that prays announces a prayer meeting. Only some in the church will show up, or nobody will show up. That would be the worst. But a church devoted to prayer announces a prayer meeting and the whole church shows up. What a beautiful thing that is. I know in some Korean churches, like there's prayer meeting even at 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe even 5:30 in the morning. The whole church shows up. That's why God revived the Korean churches so much, and it's such a blessing to so many people throughout the world. A church that prays asks God to bless what it is doing. But a church devoted to prayer asks God to enable it to do what God is blessing. A church that prays thinks it is too busy to pray. So many programs, so many things to do. No time to pray. Let me get things done first and then maybe I'll pray. While a church devoted to prayer knows it is too busy not to pray. Simply because, actually just because we are too busy. That's the time that we need prayer most. The busier we get, the more prayer we need to seek God's guidance and wisdom. A church that prays is frustrated by financial shortfall. Not enough money. People are not giving. And then resulting in cutting back on ministry. But a church devoted to prayer prays through financial shortfall and receives money miraculously. A church that prays fits prayer in somewhere. There is prayer in the church. That is not the most important thing. While a church devoted to prayer gives priority to prayer. And lastly, a church that prays uses God, in some way manipulates God to get what it wants. While a church devoted to prayer is used by God. What a difference. I hope we are churches. We are a church devoted to prayer. Not just a church that prays. I hope we'll never be a church that does not pray. Do you know what devil's concern? Devil's concern is try to keep the Christians from praying. The devil fears nothing from prayerless these studies. You might be leading a Bible study, you might be teaching, and yet you're not praying. The devil is not afraid of such prayerless studies. Not afraid of prayerless work and ministry. In the church, people don't pray, people just do things. And not afraid of prayerless religion. People don't pray, people just go through the motions of coming to church and go through the program. The devil laughs at our hard work and mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. That's why we'll continue our series on prayers, because prayer is so important to the revival of the church and of our lives, to be able to experience God's power in our lives, and to be able to resist Satan and to defeat Satan in our lives. I was training in Taekwondo, and my instructor said, pick the heavy bag as hard as it can, as if that's your enemy. I said, I have no enemy but Satan, so let me do it. And then, he said, is there anybody you hate most? No, I hate nobody, because God loves me so much. So I guess Satan is my only enemy, so that's how I kick the heavy bag so hard, because it's Satan. So just an image. So today we will learn more about how to prepare ourselves before we pray. Last time, do you still remember, we talked about six things, what we should do before we pray. I'm so happy the past Friday, there were more than 10 people who were there in the prayer meeting on Friday. I believe we had a wonderful time, just enjoying the time to talk to God. And we walked through again those six things. To simplify that, it's three things. First, relationship with God. We want to make sure that we're living a righteous life before we pray to God, for He is a holy God. If there's any sin, we should confess. Second, relationship with God. Be humble before God, for God is the Creator, the most wonderful God of heavens and earth. We should be humble when we come to Him. Kneel down if you can. Spend some time kneeling down before God, the King of all kings. And then, relationship with people. Forgive people who have offended you, because if you don't forgive other people's offense towards you, God will not forgive your sins and will not listen to your prayers. Second thing about relationship with people, it is about praying and helping those who are poor and needy. If we are willing to help those people who are in need, God will help us when we are in need. And thirdly, if you're married, love your wife. If you're not married, love your mom, love your dad, love your closest family member, brother and sister. Because if you love your closest family member, God will listen to your prayers. And lastly, we say, believe in your prayer. Even before you pray, you know, God will answer my prayers. That's why I go to pray. If you come to God and just go through the motions, God, you're not going to answer my prayers. I just come because this is something that I should do, and then you just need. How can you expect God to give you what you need? Because you don't believe in that. You say, like you ask someone for a gift, and then you say, you're not going to give me that. And then before that person can give you the gift, they have already turned away. So you're not going to receive that. So these are the six things that we covered last time, what we should do before we even pray, to prepare ourselves to pray to God, so that God will answer our prayers. But today I cover four things. Second part of preparation for prayer. First, we answer the question, where should we pray? Where to pray? Second, what to pray? Third, who to pray? And fourth, how often to pray? So these are the four questions I'll answer today. First, where to pray? In church? In your closet? In a room? In the balcony? Where should I pray? According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, you can look at the slide. And when you pray, Jesus said, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Because people will say, wow, they're so religious, they're so good. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Some people would say, then there should be no more public prayers. See, Jesus said, do not do public prayers. Do not pray standing in the synagogue on the street corners to be seen by men. Is that what Jesus said, that we should not pray in public at all? The key here is not whether we should pray in public or not, But that when we pray in public, don't be hypocritic. And don't try to pray in public in order to impress people with your beautiful words. Some people will repeat some beautiful words over and over again, like the monks, they will, repeat the same thing over and over again. And some people intentionally try to pray in public loudly so that everybody can hear it, so that people would say, wow, what a religious man or woman. Because the hypocrites, the Pharisees were doing that. And because public prayer was seen as an act of godliness, and people who pray loudly in public, on streets, markets, restaurants, or the Pharisees in synagogue, and they were praised by people, and they were considered religious, and they were good examples to follow. So they prayed loudly, make a show of it. I believe there's nothing wrong with public prayer, but when you pray in public, be especially cautious and careful that you are praying to God, not to man. You are praying, not always thinking about what will other people think about my prayers. Does my prayer sound good to them? Is that impressive? No, then you are not praying to God, you are just praying to man and people, trying to impress people. And that distracts you from talking to God. Even if you pray publicly, with no wrong motive, with no purpose to impress other people, to make yourself look good, you can do such public prayers. But don't let public prayers be your only prayers. Some people only pray during prayer meetings in public, but they never pray by themselves in private. So I encourage you to have more personal private prayers. In a letter to his friend, hymn writer Wendell P. Loveness related this story. One evening, there was a special speaker from foreign country who was visiting the United States. He wanted to make a telephone call, so he entered a phone booth. But he found it very different from the phone booth in his own country, and it was getting dark. He looked up in the directory, tried to look up for a number, but it was really dark. He couldn't see well. And he noticed that in the phone booth, there was a light there. He tried to turn it on, but he could not. And then a passerby noticed that he was struggling, trying to turn on the light, and he was trying to read, but he could not. So he said, hey, just close the door, and then the light will be on. So he closed the door, and then amazingly, the light just turned on, and then he was able to find the number and finish the phone call. I think in a similar way, when we draw aside in a quiet place to pray, we must block out our busy world and open our hearts to the Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us. And then our darkened world, our disappointments, our trials, our temptations, they will all be illuminated like the night, illuminated by God. And when we have private time with God in a quiet place, no distractions, we will enter into fellowship with God, who can sense God's presence, and will be sure that God will provide for us. Do you know who is Isaac Newton? He was a very famous, dedicated Christian scientist. He was related to the apple somehow, right? He was sitting under the tree, apple tree, and an apple dropped, and he discovered, you know, the force of gravity. And he said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions, millions of miles into space. Then he added, but when I lay the telescope aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. I was walking, listening to my NIV Bible last week, and look at the sky, beautiful sky, stars, and then I would say, God, let me see where you are. I said, oh God, you're in my heart. But even with telescopes, you will not be able to see God as closely as when you shut yourself in a quiet place to pray to God. That's why Isaac Newton did. I believe that probably what's the key to success. To be willing to be close to God, and God will reveal to him wonderful things. So every day, spend some time in your own quiet prayer room. If the only quiet prayer room is the closet, then you might need to go into the closet to pray. Some people might be living in a very noisy neighborhood, then you should find a place that's really quiet. There's no distraction, so that you can see face to face. You can see God face to face. And then, you experience God's presence and power. Second, what to pray. What to pray? Some people don't know what to pray when they are asked to lead in a prayer. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2 says that, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. What we learn here is that God wants us to prepare before we pray. In preparing for prayers, it is important that we take time to organize our thoughts so that we can approach God with a purpose, more focused on specific repentance from our sins, thanksgiving for God's blessing, forgiveness of our sins, praising God for his wonderful acts in our life, and the need that we have for God. God does not want us to just jump into prayer and then blur out whatever is in our mind without even thinking about that, because you will be accountable for whatever you pray to God. Some people ask for things that you not ask, and then God gives that to him and then he regrets it. Some of them say, I want to be a missionary, and then God opened the door for him to be a missionary, and then that person regrets it. So whatever you ask, make sure you think about it before you say it to God. And God also wants us to be specific in our prayers. Instead of just saying something, God bless the whole world, I want world peace, amen. So be more specific than that, okay? Some years ago, there was a young girl who was very sick and was not expected to recover. She was dying because of her love for Christ. She looked at her life. I have not lived very long, and I have not done much for God. And she wondered what she could do, you know, while approaching the end of her very short life. And she talked to her pastor, and her pastor suggested that she make a list of people in their little town who needed Christ and pray that they might put their faith in Christ. So she took the advice, made a list, and prayed often for each person. Sometime later, God began a revival in the village. The girl heard of the people who were coming to Christ and prayed even more. She was encouraged to see people that she prayed for becoming Christians. As she heard reports, she checked off the names of those who had been led to the north to Jesus Christ on her checklist. And then the girl died. Someone found a prayer list under her pillow with the names of 50 people there that she had been praying for before she died. And they were amazed that all these 56 people, put their faith in Christ. And the last one on the night before her death, just before she died, the last one on the list of 56 people also became a Christian. This is the power of specific, definite, and fervent prayer. Do you have a prayer list? Let me show you a prayer list here. This is can you go to the next slide? This is the English prayer, English ministry prayer meeting. This is just the part that I've seen God answering the prayers that we have prayed for, things that God has answered. I'll go to the next slide. Many things. The next one, and the most recent one, the audio system set up. I praise God for that. And seeing people coming to Christ and being baptized, that's something I praise God for. The next one, and I praise God for bringing Alfred C. back safely from Iraq. That's on April 26th. Because we were praying for you while you were in Iraq, because we all felt it was a very dangerous place to be in. But thank God you came back safely. See, go to the next one. That's the prayer, a power of prayer. That's why I pray. And this is my personal prayer. Besides praying for the English ministry needs, I also have my own personal prayer list. While I drive, I actually have this already noted in my cell phone. It's also a podcast PC. So I just put that in a folder that's secure. I have passwords so nobody can go in to see what these prayers are. So while I drive, I just first prepare my heart to pray to God, and then I will pray to God. And you notice that I have separated that into 7 different days. And because I will receive prayers on different days of the week, okay? And if I receive that on Tuesday, I will pray on Tuesday every week. Because there are so many prayer requests, so many needs from my friends, family, I cannot pray for all of them on one single day. So I divide them up into 7 days. If I receive that on Tuesday, pray for that on Tuesday. But if I notice that there are many prayer requests on Tuesday already, so I pray for a particular prayer request on another day that does not have as many prayers. I have been praying for my mom's health. She has back pain, knee pain, and osteoporosis, and some minor heart issues. I've been praying for her, and she's doing very well now, and she's mightily used by God. And there are many other things that I pray for. Even I pray for myself, and I pray for the Jews on Saturdays for their salvation and being willing to come to Jesus Christ. Pray for the Jews from all over the world that they follow closely the creeds, laws, and commandments in the scripture. Pray also that they might recognize and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, even before the tribulation starts. Protect your chosen people, Lord. That's the prayer that I have on Saturdays. And you'll notice that I have a start date for the prayer, and then I have the description of the prayer. I bold type the main idea, and then I will record the prayer. When God answered the prayer. Over the years, you notice that starting from the time I went to seminary, God answered so many different prayers in my life. One for a friend who was getting married, whose name is Harry, and she was not certain about her salvation, and her fiance was not certain about his salvation, so I prayed that God would lead them to saving faith in Christ. And both of them became Christians before they got married. So whenever I feel discouraged about my life, whenever I feel discouraged about the ministry, so many demands, so little time, so little resource to do all things, I feel frustrated. But when I look at the prayers that God answered, that strengthens my faith. I know that God is faithful, not only to the English ministry, but also to me individually. And then I'll be encouraged. I'll pray more, and then I'll see God answering more prayers in my life again. So, have your own personal prayer list. Make it a discipline, and you'll see God's blessings in your life as you pray. Some people, when they pray, they still don't know how to pray, even if they have a prayer list. But there's something they want to pray for. They don't know what to pray for about that, about earthquake, about Myanmar cyclone. When you face occasions like that, you don't know how to pray for something or someone, here's what you can do. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to pray for such things. And then just wait on God. Because according to Romans chapter 8 verse 26, In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He lives in our hearts. He knows our deepest needs. Sometimes we pray for things superficially. Sometimes we pray for ourselves, for our ambitions, our goals, but those are not our deepest needs. God knows our deepest needs. And that's why you should spend some time to just ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to pray and to pray for you. God's prayer for you is the best prayer. But you still try to wait on God and pray as God reveals to you. This is a powerful privilege to Christians, having the Holy Spirit there to help them to pray. So have your own prayer list. Thirdly, who do you pray? One person, two people, three, four, five, or the whole church. Now, some people believe in private prayer. That's the Bible's teaching. And the Bible is not against public prayer. Actually, here it teaches that according to Matthew chapter 18:19, verse 19 to 20. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, here am I with them. So when two or more Christians come together in love and in unity and pray according to God's will in Jesus' name, powerful things will happen. And God will be with these people, and God will answer their prayers in a wonderful way. So I encourage you, besides having personal private prayers, also come for public prayers in the prayer meeting. While you pray in public, make sure you are not trying to impress people, but to pray to God. But when you pray, one person prays aloud, all the other people pray along with you quietly in unity, in love. That prayer will be very powerful according to what the Bible says. Lastly, how often should we pray? Some people say three times a day, some people only pray once a week, some people maybe once a month. How often should we pray? According to the Bible, we should pray continuously, or continually, or with no ceasing, without ceasing, no stop, continually. Pray all the time. That's what God wants us to do according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Of course, I have explained this before. It's impossible for you to pray for 24 hours a day. But here, the image is taken from, I mentioned someone is having a terrible cough. And suddenly you feel like your throat is itchy, and then you cough. And then you stop for a while, and then you come back again. Similarly, whenever you see I'm done with this, and I have some time here, I pray. Whenever possible, you pray. I think one of the greatest contradictions or paradoxes of the Christian faith is that God wants us to talk to Him about everything going on in our lives, and yet God already knows everything that's going on in our lives. So some would ask, what's the point of praying to God? God already knows, you know, what I'm going to even say before I say it. Have you wrestled with that question before? That contradiction? That paradox? A preacher, 19th century preacher, R.A. Torrey, also had such a question. But he found out that there are different reasons for prayer according to the Bible. First, because there is a devil. Prayer is the God-given way for us to resist the devil. So whenever you have temptations, thoughts of sin, evil thoughts coming into your mind, that's the time immediately you should pray, and God will give you the power to resist it. It can be any time. Second, because prayer is God's way for us to obtain what He has already prayed for us. It is like a treasure box God has prepared for you. And the key to open the treasure box is prayer. God has handed you the key, and yet you still need to use the key to open the treasure box in order to get the treasure inside God has reserved for you. But some of you are not taking the key, some of you are not using the key, that's why you're not getting all the treasures God has reserved for you. Thirdly, because prayer is the means God has appointed for us to find grace in time of need. To find grace to help in times of need. All these are based on the Bible. This is based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And lastly, because prayer with thanksgiving is God's way for us to obtain freedom from anxiety, from worry, and to receive the peace of God. Have you tried to study so hard to things so hard, and yet you still worry? You still feel anxious? There's no peace in your heart. You think you try to do your best, everything will be fine, and yet you worry about it. That's the time you come to God. And God will give you the peace that's beyond your understanding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says that pray without ceasing. We should realize that God wants us to also talk to Him. He is all-knowing. He knows everything, right? But He also desires our fellowship. So when we see God's faith in our prayer, not just God's hand to help us to do things, God would strengthen us. God would strengthen our relationship with Him. That's actually the most important reason to pray. Abraham Lincoln was a very, very busy president of the United States. And he had a very heavy schedule every day. And one time there was an elderly woman who wanted to see President Lincoln during his office hours. But he had no official or important business in mind that she wanted to discuss with Abraham Lincoln to see him for. But anyway, Abraham Lincoln still left her to see him. So he wrote to greet her and asked, "How may I help you?" And the lady replied and said, "I have no favor to ask from you. I heard that you like certain kind of cookies, and I just made some cookies, the cookies that you like, and I have brought them to your office today." With tears in his eyes, Lincoln responded, "You are the very first person who has ever come into my office asking not, expecting not, but rather bringing me a gift. I thank you from the bottom of my heart." We often come to God to just ask for things. Just like we come to our dad or mom, "Dad, give me the money, and dad, give me this, and give me that." Have you ever spent time to talk to your dad, and even give your dad or your mom a gift? I believe that will make your mom or dad, you know, to cry, because your mom or dad will be so touched, because you're not just going to your mom or dad as if your mom or dad were a vending machine. God is not a vending machine. God is the personal God, who loving God, who desires us to have a loving relationship with Him. That's why we come to pray, not just to go to God as if He is our vending, almighty vending machine. Everything we want, God will give us. Sure, what is good for you, God will give you. But the fellowship with God is more important than what you get from God. So feel free to drop by the office of the President of all Presidents, our Almighty God, the Creator of all universe. He's always waiting for us. But don't just go there to have a request. To give something, all the time to give something to God, your appreciation to God, I believe God will be pleased when we all go to God to appreciate Him. And we are willing to walk according to His commandments in the Bible, and we come to Him thanking Him. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father,
you're such a wonderful God. There's nothing that is good for us you will withhold from us. But God, I pray that you teach us how to pray, because we don't know how to pray. We often have selfish desires. We often feel as a vending machine. And some of us will only go to you when we have problems, difficulties. But we understand that, God, you desire the fellowship with us more. Let us learn how to enjoy the fellowship with God through prayers. Help us, God, to teach us how to pray. Let us be able to set aside quiet time to be spent with you, just with you. And we'll experience your power, your presence, and you'll reveal to us your wonderful plan, your comfort, your peace to us. Let us be encouraged to not only pray by ourselves, but pray in unity with love with other brothers and sisters, and for their needs besides for our own needs. And let us always come to you with a gift of thanksgiving and appreciation of you, because you are the most wonderful. What we cannot gain by our own power and good works, Jesus Christ died for us, so that we can have eternal life with the most loving God forever, the holy God forever. You also promise to guide our footsteps as we are willing to come to you, to be close to you. Help each one of us as we experience your presence and power, and that we'll also become blessings to many other people. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.